Hi, and welcome to the Help with Homeschooling Australia newsletter, series one. Help! I want to take my kids out of school. So I have done a couple, I think we're up to number three posts on my website. They're just reading material for you to come back to, but I really wanted to give you an opportunity to hear and see from other homeschooling mums and hear their wisdom and knowledge about what it was like to take their kids out of school, and even what the kids now feel about being taken out of school. So make sure you watch this video and share it with anyone who's considering homeschooling, because the knowledge and the information is so rich. You know, it is our aim in doing this that, you know, you feel confident and comfortable in your decision making, and being able to look at parents who have already been doing it and seeing the results will hopefully ease your mind and make you feel a little bit more comfortable in this decision. So without further ado, let's get started. Hi, ladies. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having us here.
Oh, you're welcome. Good. I'm really honored that you're here. I'm really, really honored. So my name's Jamie, obviously. I have two children 10 years apart. It's only my eldest that's been to school. My son's never been to school. And she went to school when she was about in year three and four, and halfway through year two, actually. And also did a little stint in year seven before she decided to come out and never go back. So do you want to introduce yourselves and a little bit about your kids' experience in education?
Sure, I'll go first. I'm Danny. I have one child. She's just turned 13. So we've entered those teenage years, which are proving to be interesting. And she went to a school, a brick and mortar school, for 5 years, I think. So she did full-time prep, kindy, year one, year two, year three. And then we did year four until the present at home, at home school. So that's us.
Nice.
Yeah.
My name is Sarah. I'm a mum of six. I had our first two children in school for 5 years and 3 years, and yeah, it was a great school, great opportunities, but yeah, we did decide to remove them and homeschool before our third started school.
Wow, that's so awesome. So what was your reasoning for taking your kids out of school?
Mine was, well, we had a few bumps in our marriage, and so I think emotionally our first two children found that, you know, it affected them. And so school was like I said, it was a great Christian environment, but it's also, I found it to be very rigid, and that was reflected in my eldest child's mental health. By the time she left, by the time I pulled her out in year four, she felt like she was the worst kid in her grade other than this other boy.
Hmm.
And although the teachers were generally really lovely, I think schools don't always have the capacity for emotional the emotional side of things. And yeah, so before our third child was to start kindergarten, I thought we'll give it a go for a year, and that was 14 years ago.
Wow.
So wow. Yeah, she's all grown up now and 24 and just an amazing human, so it was really, really good for her.
Well, that's great to hear that, you know, it was for a period of time, and then it blossomed into something that, you know, has turned out to be such an amazing journey for your whole family and all the rest of your children that have followed from that. So that's beautiful. And what about you, Danny?
I honestly, I'm a Christian and I just felt called by God. It was, I can't explain it. I was always one of those people that had the stereotype of homeschooling, like, oh, that's weird type thing. And I had some friends that started homeschooling and they sort of opened my eyes to, oh, okay, you are actually, you know, being really, really social and ticking the boxes academically and all these things. So as I started to learn and I felt that tugging on my heart, it took me a good 9-10 months to decide. And I just thought, well, I can always put it back in school, so let's give this a go. And it's, we're almost finished 4 years and I'm not going back. So we absolutely love it.
Wow.
Yes.
So that actually makes all three of us that like took our kids out like around the same time period, year four, year five, thinking like we'll just give it a go for a year, and then it's just never stopped.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. That's really cool. I wonder if that's like a pattern in other people, like around that same age where they sort of start going, you know, is this still something that I want or that my kid wants or needs around that same period of time? It's really interesting to think about. I've never really thought about it like that. But yeah, so I guess I'm the same as well. Lily actually begged to come back. She did prep and one at home and half of year two. And then she just begged to come back home. So it was not something I was like really super keen on at the time. I had just had my son and that was just a lot of medical appointments and things like that. So I wasn't really super keen at that time. And then, yeah, once we sort of started get going, like, I can't imagine life any other way, to be honest. I was sad when she wanted to try year seven. I was proud of her because she felt like she could handle it. But, you know, I was a little bit sad at the same time. But, yeah, I guess, you know, it's one of those things where when you know it's right or it's working for, you know, at least one of your children, you know, you just keep going. Hey, like, I just feel like it's not something that I ever think about. Like, I don't know, like, I mean, we all have those days, I'm sure, where you feel like, oh, it would just be so much easier for like a split second. And then you realize it's not going to be easier. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like once I've started and I've gotten my feet, it's just, I don't know, easy. Would you guys say the same?
Yeah, I think for me, there was definitely, you know, the first year is probably the hardest and there was doubts and then there was, you know, what am I doing? Am I crazy? You know, am I ruining my child? And but then you sort of find your groove and now it's just a part of our life. Like we homeschool, it's our lifestyle. And now we've seen so many benefits and things that we love about it that we're just not willing to give up. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I had a, as you were saying, Danny, we also had homeschool, people that we knew that homeschooled and had one friend that was particularly vocal and a real advocate for it. And she would always come with information that she'd received from another friend that did all the research. And so she just was the voice piece that just kept encouraging me, which was good. And I was far from confident then, but I know the separation anxiety that my eldest girl had suffered was really, you know, it's just really hard to see as a mum, you know, see your child cry every time you leave them for a year and a half is, you know, the first year and a half of school is really hard. And then to see them, you know, not value who they are as people themselves, you know, that confidence, that's really heartbreaking, you know, as a mum to know that your kids don't really feel valued and that, you know, they don't love themselves because of how somebody's made them or, you know, a place has made them feel. So yeah, it's certainly very difficult. I mean, I guess if you've got a teaching background, you've probably got the skill set. I didn't have that. So it was, you know, lots of schedules and lots of plans, but then, you know, my daughter was very, just wanted to do her own way. She wanted that freedom to be able to go, you know what, I'll just learn this way. And as much as I planned and scheduled, it was, it didn't really work that way. So there was a lot of frustration for me in that, you know, in the start, because I had to sort of give in and trust that she'd be okay. And yeah, that separation anxiety now has gone from a young girl that would cry every day to a girl that's traveled the world by herself.
Wow.
That's one of the things that I just really love about homeschooling, is that our kids have got good mental health. They're not governed by peer pressure. They couldn't give a hoot, to be honest. You know, it's not that they don't like people. They know what they believe and value and stand for, and you can't sway them from that. And that's priceless in a world these days that is, becoming more and more governed by people that, you know, want to pull you in every direction. So it's been difficult, but so much fruit from it, such a blessing.
Wow, that's I feel like we've had very similar early years as well, Sarah, because that's very much what it was like for us as well. Lily, I was like, okay, I've got to do this schedule, and printed out the entire year five curriculum and literally ticked everything. So when the AP, because we lived in New South Wales and Sydney at the time, came around and literally saw every single page with a tick and a date when we did it, she's like, okay, you don't need to be doing this. And I was like, oh. And Lily hated it, and she just wanted to do it her own way as well, and just ended up saying, look, can we just stop trying to mimic other people, how they're doing it, or what, you know, you think you should be doing, or what you think they think you should be doing. Can we just live our lives and do it our way? And it was hard to let go and trust. It was really hard.
Especially if you've been to school yourself, and you know that there's these set milestones, and you should be able to do this, and you can't do that. And if you're associated with groups, you know, we do a lot of sport. And so, you know, kids can be nasty. But, you know, if you're in settings when they go, okay, can you read this? And they're 10 and they can't read it, you know, then it sort of reflects poorly. You know, you feel, oh, wow, that reflects poorly on me. But, I mean, I was the first to learn to read at school, and I've got one now that can't read, and he's 8, but all the others have taught themselves. I literally did not use a school pro, like a, you know, 101 ways or a, you know, the 100 steps book that you can to teach your child to read. I was through reading stop signs, or, you know, just watching movies and seeing words and reading books, and they've just taught themselves, which is crazy to think. And my husband would go, how'd they do that? And I was like, I've got no idea. Can't take the credit for that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it works. It's just a different way of going about it. And you've got to adjust your, you know, paradigm shift, really, isn't it? This is the way it's done, and this is the only way, which is not really the case.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many ways, because we're all individuals and we all learn and love things, you know, love different things. And so why should we go, let's learn about this, and the child's got absolutely no desire for that.
Yeah.
Given the right situation, the right timing. You know, my daughter was really proud probably a year or so ago. She's been doing Bible college. This is the 24-year-old, and she's started writing essays. I never learnt to write it. You know, why do you need to write an essay? But now she knows how to write an essay because she needed to write one and has learnt the skills. And so I think given any opportunity, you can learn what you want when the time's right.
And trust, when you want to.
And trusting that's tricky, isn't it? Like that's as mums, that's probably as parents, you know, that's probably the hardest thing, the unknown.
Yeah. And I think as parents who have taken their kids out of school into homeschooling, that's one of the biggest challenges, because you don't know anything different other than the traditional school system, especially if you, like you said, if we've been to school ourselves. So learning to trust the process of natural learning and trust the process of, you know, letting the child, you know, form their own learning style, learning what their learning style is, and you know, facilitating that. It's, yeah, that took me a little while to actually just trust that and be okay with it and just sit back and let them do that in their own way. As humans, that's what we do. Yeah, it's been a fascinating journey, actually.
Yeah, having learnt, I mean, you speak with, I know a few people that have got kids that their child learned to read at four, you know, and then you get kids that are at 11. Like, it doesn't really matter. As long as they can read. But, yeah, just giving them that freedom is, yeah, it's a tricky space.
It really is.
For us, I think, more so than them.
Yeah. So. And I think, too, when you don't, when you're not willing or open to letting that space come to life, I feel like, at least in my experience, let me know how you, like, if you related to it as well, like, I found, like, the harder I pushed to keep us within that, the harder it was for her to learn, cope. And like, there was just so much like back and forth and frustration in the house, and the vibe was so negative. But the second that it all kind of stemmed from my expectations. And the second I started to, like, because it was a slow process, you know, started to like let that open up and just trust and listen to people who had been doing it for so long, just saying, just trust, the first year is the hardest, you know, just don't, you know, you don't have to go so chaotic and so regimented, you know, the more that gave her the freedom to learn and willingness and wanting and desire to learn whatever it was.
I'm sure that you would attest to the, you know, like, the fact that you've got two children, they probably both learn differently.
Yeah, they do.
And, you know, so I've had a couple that have gone that write letters and, you know, write messages and draw pictures and that was their thing. And then you get others that could not give a hoot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get another one that goes, yeah, I'll do exactly what you asked me to do and nothing more.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get others that go, well, I will do absolutely nothing. And, you know, having had obviously six children that have homeschooled, it's, I think I've probably had every version, which then you go, man, this is, you know, having one child's, I guess, easy because you just got one to figure out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you get, you know, the next one, just when you think, yes, I've got it figured out, I've got that plan for this one, she doesn't want to do it, this one will do it. It just, it's ever evolving.
Yeah.
It is. And what worked now might not work next year. Once they're a teenager.
I found that with my daughter too, like, her learning style has changed as we have both grown and evolved in our homeschool and in life. Like, you know, at the beginning, for example, to do read alouds with her, it was like drawing blood out of a stone. She just was not used to that. It was just such a foreign thing. But now we do mostly read alouds, and that's what we learn. So yeah, it's been interesting. And in a year's time, it might be even different. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, like, for me, like, a large portion of Lily's first, you know, 18 months at home, after, like, once I started opening up to the sort of less regimented, less scheduled lifestyle that I thought we had to have, you know, she was so drawn to, at the time, Minecraft. And it was so hard for me to, like, allow that space to open. But for me, when I could start hearing her talk about, like, she's playing the game, and in the game, you know, she was the boss and had, like, several people who are all in real life underneath her, and she's, you know, got this massive tower that, you know, is a shopping center, and it's this, and she's organizing this, and she's got to make sure all the money's right, and she's full, and I'm just listening to her going, okay, so you really are learning everything that, like, I could open up your maths book and it says that you should be learning how to, you know, calculate money and things like that, but you're actually learning that in the game to a much greater depth than this book, or, you know, sitting at the whiteboard, or, you know, would have ever offered you. And, you know, just allowing that to, like, hit me, being like, okay, so even Minecraft can be used to like an even bigger ability to learn. That was for me like a really struggling point, because I was like, no, like, you know, half an hour a day, like, you know. But then I realized that actually, hold on, she's getting more from that than she would in any other setting. And that was a really big struggle for me. But I'm so grateful for that time. And so was she, because it just, I don't know, just, I guess, helped ease that pain of that trust, because I could immediately see her, the results of letting her be free, if that makes sense. Whereas I guess with my son, who's the opposite, he, whilst he still learns in all of those games, it's, you know, his learning process is so much different and takes a lot longer that I don't really get those immediate, that immediate feedback that he's learning. It can take, you know, 6 months to a year for doing the same sorts of things in a whole pile of different ways for him to, you know, have learned that simple thing. So, you know, I'm grateful for that time to have that immediate feedback, but you don't always get that immediate feedback in my experience anyway. But it did help that process in that first little while.
Well, we've just got a Minecraft subscription now, so there's that'll cover it for me. Yeah,
definitely. It's like literally all we did for like 8 months, and I was like, yep, look, I could literally tick it off in the curriculum, like, yeah, okay, she did it, but she did it on Minecraft, not here. She'll tell you all about like rocks and the different types of rocks and all of that, which is, you know, inside the curriculum, but she learned that on Minecraft, not through anything I downloaded, printed, no curriculum, and she'll be able to tell you it all. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, like, so for me, I love Minecraft for that. But yeah, it was definitely a process of letting go, but I found getting an immediate feedback from that was made it a little bit easier.
It gives you a bit of confidence. Yeah.
So what about Fortnite? Is there anything in there that I can?
I wish. I don't know. I gave up on
dance,
like, gaming.
what was that? Weapons and
dance,
dancing.
Yeah,
that's in the curriculum. They have to do dance, sure, or something. Yeah.
It's so different, isn't it? Like, you know, I've got now at the moment, I've got my 10-year-old that just loves to write the notes and the letters and drawing, and she'll get on her iPad and do an art workshop. And she did this picture the other day, and it was like, wow. And it was like just a half face, and it was like, that was really impressive. Wow. And she was like, and she was beaming because she'd done it. And you know, and she's the craft girl, you know, I love anything craft. And so she's a master of making slimes and then, you know, resurrecting the ones that didn't, you know, come out the way they're meant to. And
oh, that's brilliant.
You know, and so, and I think it's a matter of having, yeah, having an open mind, which is a real asset for anyone. But just giving the opportunities as well. And I don't know what your situation now is at the moment, Jamie, up that way, but you know, Sydney's obviously always had so many groups that you can be part of and you can learn whatever it is, pretty much. I mean, you know, we've done brain workshops and surfing, you know, surfing programs and, you know, dancing and swimming and you know, drama and choir. And so there's so many different options available, and you give everyone a bit of a taste of this and they go, well, I don't like that anymore, and you go, okay, and hope that all your friends aren't there, you know, yourself.
Yes.
And they go, well, we're not going to come here anymore, and they go, oh no, what am I going to do?
Yes.
So yeah, and I think it's just always been about, for me, giving our kids the opportunities. You know, for example, my almost 18-year-old, she was 15 and she was playing sport, and she had the opportunity to go to Europe. And it's like by yourself with a group of people, and you go, well, you know, one, it's a lot of money, but two, what a great experience to go to, you know, Abu Dhabi and Ireland and France and England. And, you know, how much more would she have learned just being, you know, like she Scots about the croissants, you know, the croissants in France are much better than these. They're like, of course they are. But that's a lived experience. And I think that, you know, life and lived experiences are so much more richer than you know, pulling out a textbook and going, look at this, and they go, this is, it's irrelevant. Yeah. Until we find the right setting where it becomes applicable. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Love the life experiences.
Yeah. And I feel like too, like that's what life is about regardless. Like I feel like there's like this, oh no, education is like this, life is like this, and learning that actually this is life and it includes education and it's not two separate things. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, that's part of, I feel like what we're talking about is just opening that space up to be like, we're not going to have education here and then our life here. It's
put that away. Let's pack that up. Now we're not doing that. Now we're going to live real life and let's cook dinner.
Yeah.
I mean, how many, I mean, you probably would have experienced it having had your children in school when they go, okay, you guys are in kindergarten, you're not allowed to play with your kids in year four. And the year four, you're, you know, like even though you're a little bit more mature, you still can't play with year six. And it is very, very segregated. And so they're expecting to play and learn appropriately with their peers that are the same age with the same level of maturity. So how can they mimic what is, you know, what skills they don't have if they haven't got any examples of what that looks like? So I found that that's the homeschool. The homeschool world's great because you'll get, you know, 14-year-old girls that'll let the, you know, the 8-year-old girls come and do handstands and play and join in, or you'll get a 14-year-old that's leading games, you know, for kids, and you think, wow, that's, you know, they've got skill sets because they can then teach it. And it's real that they might not have that opportunity at, you know, in a standard school setting.
And not only that, but that is real authentic socialization as well. Like that's learning to you know, live with all different types of people from all different types of background, ages, everything. And so that they, when we, you know, when they go out into to society on their own as adults, you know, they're good citizens, you know, improving their communities. So yeah.
Because I mean, how often do we ask our friends, look, how old are you? Like I'm you know, like 40s. Oh, you're in your 30s. I'm sorry, I can't be friends with you. Yeah, we've got kids the same age. It's just not real life, is it?
No.
That's the great thing about their homeschool settings. I think it's a real life blend of living and learning.
Yeah, and I think the kids are so much better off for that as well, and it kind of just eliminates all, like, that competition, that inner competition of, oh, I'm older than you by, like, a day, so that means, you know, you know, and it's just like, no, we're just here playing, you know, we'll just get along with everyone. I like you because I like you, not because of your age or, you know, anything else. You know, we're all just going to hang out. We're all just going to play.
And also the boys and girls can play together evenly, which you will have experienced. I know that, you know, that was a very common thing in our drama class that, you know, there was that good mix of boys and girls. And, you know, just because you're a girl doesn't mean you can't go and be friends with the boys because, you know, the boys might be into the Minecraft a little bit more.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's more of a commonality as opposed to an age or a gender.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Situation.
Yeah. And it's so good. And it's good for the kids as well too. And it's good for the parents too. Like, I don't know. I really enjoyed that time. You know, it's really good to watch your children. Especially for me, my kids are 10 years apart, you know, and for like a small period of time, all play together. Like my, you know, 2 and 3 year old is playing with my 12, 13 year old and all her friends, or she'll come down and play with his friends for a little while, or, you know, and it's just so nice to see everyone just get along and be nice and play and not worry about, I don't know.
Well, it gives them skill sets too that, you know, they might not, obviously having a large family, they have that ability to interact with, you know, and care for children younger than themselves. You know, maybe as an only child myself, I didn't have really a lot of that experience, and I just think it's valuable because it gives you a skill set of, you know, I think, you know, they're able to go, yep, no problem, I'll take care of your child.
Yeah.
And the parents get a break. and they get a skill, you know, that they can take care of a child. They sense, you know, when the child's uncomfortable. And I think just in like in a real day-to-day setting, my children have had that privilege of, you know, caring for younger kids, whether it's in groups at classes or, you know, or at home. But I know that some of my younger girls' friends don't have babies or didn't have younger children or nieces and nephews, and so they were able to learn from our children. And yeah, it's a really nice thing.
Definitely. So I guess now, like, it would be a good time to ask we've touched a little bit on like how the first year was really hard and how we really, you know, all three of us ended up having to like sort of open up ourselves to a different way of letting our kids learn. But is there anything else that you sort of like remember from that time that, you know, like what it was like maybe for you as like an individual, as a besides that hardship, or maybe what the family dynamic was like, or, you know, any of that kind of thing? Like, what was that like for you, other than having to let go of their education?
For me, it was there were some really hard moments because I'm a single mum. Like, it's always just been my daughter and I. And so when she was 4 years old, I had to work full-time over an hour away from home, and she was going to full-time prep. And that always broke my heart because the child was exhausted. Mm. And at 4 years old, they're still so little and they're still your baby, you know. So that always just devastated me. And so we were always very, very busy, school, work, we're active in church and lots of things always going on. And so then when we were homeschooling, all of a sudden we're together all the time. And it was beautiful. It's what I'd always wanted, but there was an adjustment period. We had to get to know each other and learn really what made each other tick. And I had to learn how to relearn how to discipline and all of that properly. And I had to exercise a lot of grace because what I was going through, she had to have been going through too. Like, she's all of a sudden home with mum all the time and dealing with me and my faults too. And so for me, that was probably the hardest part, was just having to just really come to the place where I realized I need to get to know my child again. And we need to relearn this new life. This is a new life we've never lived before. We need to learn how to walk through this. And like I said before, now it's amazing. I don't regret it for the world. But, you know, sometimes to get to a good place, you've got to walk through a hard place. And, yeah, it was definitely hard, but worth it. Yeah.
I found it really tiring because obviously you've got your children with you all the time. There's no break. I didn't have family support, even though I was married. My husband worked full time and wasn't always, you know, around to be able to be a support. So there wasn't certainly a tag team effort. And it was, you know, it was almost like being just running it myself pretty much for the whole 14 years that we've been homeschooling. And so you're faced with your insufficiencies, is that the word? You know, like your inability or the skills that you don't have. I almost have a degree. Does that count? you know, I've studied at uni twice, but then, you know, the second time when I'd gone back to finish my nursing degree, I felt pregnant and I was like, okay, I just, it's just not going to work. And, you know, so I had to go, okay, I don't have the teaching degree, but I know I love my kids. And so what I'll do is I'll just give them every opportunity that I can for their education, put them in the right places with the right people. And, you know, it's challenging because you've got to deal with it in your face all the time. There's no one else to blame for their shortcomings. You can't go, well, the teacher, they didn't cover that this year, or the teacher was, you know, oh, that's me, I'm the teacher. And that's obviously, you know, you have to be really transparent and truthful with yourself and go, you know what, it is hard, and sometimes, you know, we don't always get it right, and you may not respond the way that I want you to respond and do the work that I want you to do, and I then may be not doing the same. I may not be as gracious as I should be, and you know, so that is definitely hard. I think one of the things I found and have found now thinking about it from those times and giving our children opportunities in the community was that I really like people and getting to know people, and so obviously in situations where you're traveling and learning skills of traveling and being in new places and meeting new people and having to be able to have conversations and how to be appropriate, and, you know, teaching your kids things that you may not have already known for yourself, and I think we grow on the journey as much as they do, because and you just come across people with different life skills and qualifications and abilities, and I think being open to that, you're on a learning journey yourself, and so that's really valuable. So you can sort of weigh up the difficulties of it, but then there's so much richness to the journey, despite how hard it is sometimes.
Yeah, I can resonate to what both of you said. Hardcore. Like I don't think there's anything to add to that. Like that's exactly how I felt as well. And I think too, like it's again, like that hardship of doing something new, you know, bringing our kids home and then learning all of that, and learning along with them. I feel like it's like with everything else in life, you know, anything new, regardless of what it is always hard until it becomes natural, until it becomes easier. It's always hard. So this is no different. You know, and I think, you know, having that experience of, you know, that lived experience of, oh, things when they first start out are hard, and they'll go for how, like they'll be hard for however long it needs to be, but then it's a lot better. You know, knowing that, I guess at the beginning, you know, when it's hard, because we'll always have hard times again in life, you know, I feel like it helps, you know, it's not going to always be that way. And it does get better and easier, and then it'll get harder because they'll change, and then it'll get, you know, but that's just what life is, regardless of if we're talking about education or just raising children in general, I feel. So, yeah. Okay, so so we've talked about how we felt bringing our kids out of school, and how, you know, how much we've grown and learned from that process. But I did ask you to ask for your kids how they felt. So do you want to start? Do you want to share what your children have shared with you in regards to how they felt coming out of school?
You want to go first, Sarah?
I think I know that, yeah, like I said, my daughter she didn't have good mental health and felt as a 9-year-old that she was the worst kid in her whole year. And you think she just wasn't an in-the-box kind of girl. And but it's hard to live, you know, like to give her confidence that that's okay, it's not always going to be that way. It was certainly hard for her. I think, you know, you say all your goodbyes and go, oh yeah, we'll all keep in touch, and fact is you never do. You know, you might bump into each other, and you know, it's obviously people are for a season, and so you lose a whole group of contacts that you thought were, you know, your people, and you find new people. And you know, you're sort of always looking for your friend, you know, your children to have that, you know, that best friend. And coming out into homeschooling, you don't, it can be difficult in that you don't have, your friends aren't local always. You know, like my 10-year-old's best friend's at pardon me, Menai, and we live in Camden. So you can't just go, I'm just going to go and pop over to my friend's house. You know, so you've got to be flexible for their benefit when you bring them out. I think it's just really important to be able to adapt and go, okay, let's meet in the middle, or I'll come to you this week and you go here because this is what our kids need. And that helps the transition, which obviously then takes time because you don't find friends always instantly. So, but I know that I speak of my 24-year-old because we're very similar, very close. And I'd once said to her, you know, it's, I personally would rather have no friends than the wrong ones. And so she just goes off that same motto. If people make her, challenge her on her values and want her to be different because of what she values, then, you know, maybe you're not really, maybe we're not really friends if you can't allow me to be me and you to be you. And so I think she's really developed who she is as a person. And yeah, she's amazing, really. Yeah, so I think bringing her out of school has been really, yeah, I don't know that they're, yeah, she certainly wouldn't have been the same person, I don't think, have if we'd left her there. So yeah, I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't think my daughter would, I think she'd be a completely different person if she would, especially throughout this whole year and a half with all the, you know, the lockdowns and COVID and all that, with all the, you know, the stress and anxiety, especially on the young people, having to do school at home, 8 hours on Zoom or whatever. I think she would have really struggled with that. So I've never been more thankful for homeschooling than right now. But yeah, I had a conversation because I showed her your questions, and we had a conversation about like what piece of advice would she give a child who's been in school and now coming home to homeschooling. And basically we both agreed that the number one advice would be just be patient, because there are going to be hard days. There are going to be days where you're going to miss your friends. There are going to be days when you hate your mum and you don't, you know, you just don't want to be in the same room and you just don't want to listen to them. And there are going to be those hard days, but like we've been talking about, get through those. And now we barely ever have a bad day because we're just in the groove now. And the benefits will always very, 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 you know, outweigh the missing of the friends and who we also don't keep in contact with. So, you know, that kind of goes to show what kind of, you know, they weren't really that good of friends. And yeah, it will get better.
Well, I asked Lily as well, and she said that, yeah, coming out of school for the first time, so she's talking here about when she came out at year five, was really scary because she didn't know anyone. And, you know, she talked about like how, you know, when you're in school, you have, you know, the before school time at home, and then you've got the school, and then you've got the after school time at home. And, you know, coming home to homeschool where the entire time is at home was a struggle for her, because you have to learn, you know, because now all of a sudden your mum has all the hats instead of just the mum hat. She's got now the teacher hat and the, you know, and yeah, so she talked about how that was, you know, difficult to adjust to. But then once it kind of all meshed together and we all learned that flow, then she says that it became really a lot easier. And she said that something I would advise a child who's just coming out to do to make life easier is to organize with your mum or dad, whoever is teaching you, or even just yourself, like a little morning ritual, kind of like a morning routine that you'll prepare for yourself for the whole day at home in your home environment, for the, you know, the school day in the home environment. So it's kind of, you know, like a little bit of personal space, I think she's, you know, really trying to talk about, because, you know, like we've said, you know, it's hard to get that personal space, I suppose. And she actually said that on the social side of things, the reason she believes she didn't keep in touch with the kids in school was because she didn't like them anyway. She wasn't close with them. So, you know, it took her a year for and us going to drama every week to make friends and be brave. And then she did. And then she has those same friends, even though we live in Queensland, and she still talks to a high majority of the core group, or at least most of them almost daily. I think now as they're getting, you know, the 17, 18, 19, you know, it's not now as daily as it was, but, you know, in her experience, you'll stay friends if they're your people, and if, you know, if they are sort of meant to be your friends for long term. Like, she doesn't feel like if she wanted to keep those friends in school, like that school would have stopped that, in her opinion. But I think that's probably because she comes from a lived experience of where, you know, her and her friends have had to have a distance relationship for so long, that she can, that she sort of understands that friendship is sort of what you make it. You know what I mean? So she actually was sort of giving advice that, you know, if you're worried about your friends and missing them, that you don't, it's not necessarily that when you leave to come to homeschooling that you will lose those friendships. So that, and that's different to your two experience, from what I feel you were saying. And I think, you know, the only thing, you know, she says she regrets, you know, she doesn't really regret anything, but she does feel like she missed out a couple of things. Like, she won't get a year 12 form, or she won't, you know, be in her 30s and have like a 15 year, you know, reunion and all those things that are kind of, you know, romanticized on TV. But she wouldn't have it any other way. So, yeah, that's, I guess, what, you know, the gist of what she was sort of saying, you know. And I feel like all three of us would say that our kids don't generally regret it, or don't generally feel like they've, you know, missed out on things that are actually important in the long-term scope of real life, you know, which might be something that really helps people who are, you know, considering it or thinking about homeschooling, to be like, okay, so in the grand scheme of things, you know, there are kids out there who aren't feeling that way. So, but I mean, every kid's different anyway, right? So just like with everything else, you know. So
I've got my daughter's, she wrote me something that I wouldn't like to try and take snippets out of, if you'd like me to read it.
Yes, for you. I would love that. Thank you.
So Madeline is 24 and now works as a, she looks after the students across Australia for an adult education, for adult education, working from home. So she said, homeschooling was wonderful. I love the feeling of empowerment that came from controlling my learning journey and following my passions and dreams. I valued having creative freedom and not being dictated to and institutionalized by the education system. Not going to school didn't make me feel like I missed out, because I didn't really feel like I fitted within the institution anyway. As a nine-year-old, when I was at school, the structure and system felt like it didn't that if you didn't fit in and thrive in that space, there was something wrong with you, and that's untrue. The fact is that learning looks different for everyone and depends on someone's maturity, learning style, capacity, passion, needs, and current personal situations. In hindsight, I wish school had been more holistic in their approach, where I was taught so much more than information, but life skills and trusting my instincts and understanding who I am and my body, because as much as information may be helpful, we're holistic and multidimensional beings. I feel that homeschooling gave me this learning experience. I value homeschooling because of the creative freedom and the feeling that indeed the whole world was my classroom, because for me that was not just a saying but the truth. I've learnt so much from life, people, relationships, mistakes, experimenting, thinking about things, and particularly from travel. I definitely want to homeschool if God's will for me is to have children, because although teachers are valuable, a parent's love does not compare.
That was so beautiful.
I know. Brings tears to my eyes.
Job very well done, Mama.
But note in there that it wasn't that my mum was the best teacher in the world anything like that. It was just that it gave her the ability to be her.
Yeah.
And, it's beautiful.
That's goals right there.
And she's such a quality human, and, you know, like, that's what we want. I mean, you might have a child that decides to become a what people would consider, you know, lowly jobs, or, you know, they're not, you know, with, you know, 3 or 4 degrees and doctorates and all these things, yet they're not very nice people. And so I think if we, regardless, as long as they like themselves and they're kind people, kind, beautiful, caring people, then that's a tick for me. That's a win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it brings tears to my eyes as a mum to know that I've enabled her and given her the opportunity to feel that.
Mm.
It's just so lovely.
And how lovely for you to have that opportunity to ask her that question and then get that feedback when she's 24.
Yeah.
You know, and just actually have that opportunity to be like, whoa, you know, hear it from her, you know. Because when Lily was doing this as well, and she, you know, she wrote, you know, a page and a half, so I'm not going to read it all.
Yeah.
But she, you know, basically just said, it just gave me an opportunity to find who I am. And that's what I needed. I just needed to find who I was. And that's what I have done. And now I know what I want to do, and I will go and do that. It gave me that flexibility. It let me finish early, and now I get to go do what I want to do. Whereas my peers are still at school studying for a test that they will never know or never remember or never care about. But exactly. I'm out here living my life.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, hearing that and reading that kind of, you know, when your kids get older, is kind of like, okay. I did okay. Like, it's not that I did a good job, but like, that was a really good decision, because even though I would say I didn't really do much, you know, it was all on her. Like, she did it all, and she's accomplished all of this on her own. You know, as parents, we have that, like, am I making the right decision? You know, and so to hear it at 17, that was her experience, that she got to find herself, and she did find herself, and she's happy. It's like, oh, okay. Breathe.
Absolutely.
And it's nice to hear, and gives a little bit of validation to all those worries and those stresses. So how nice for you to, you know.
And I think it's having spoken to my three eldest, who are 24, nearly 22 and nearly 18, as far as I know, they're all planning to homeschool their kids.
Wow.
So, and not because I was the best, far from it, just because I know, because my almost 22-year-old son, you know, had done 3 years of school and then went back at halfway through year 9, and then applied and got a 3-year sports scholarship to finish through to year 12 as a talented athlete, and had done 12, you know, in his, when he, in year 10, he was like, he'd come home and complain about the things he had to do. And I was like, well, son, you know what? When you homeschool, you got the freedom to choose which way you go and how you go about things. But when you're in the school system, these are the boxes you got to tick. And so he finished in the end of year, at the end of year 10, gave up his full scholarship.
Wow.
And went on to, you know, go to TAFE and finish a course with people that had just finished year 12. So he's, you know, he, like Lily said, you know, you've got that advantage of being able to do what you love earlier and figuring out whether that's what you really want to do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's different paths give you different boxes you got to tick.
Yeah.
So, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that was good learning experience for him.
Definitely sounds like it. Definitely. Definitely. And was it nice, Danny, to have that? Do you feel like having that conversation with your daughter about, you know, the questions that I asked sort of gave you that sense as well of like that relief of like, okay, she thinks that it's, you know, doing the right thing by her type thing.
Yeah, definitely. And it's actually something we've been talking about over the past year and a half with all the, you know, just the craziness. And, you know, I would say to her, you, even though we are sort of inconvenienced being in lockdown as well, despite what some people think about homeschoolers, that we're used to this. No, we're not. Yeah, just giving her, you know, imagine you were at school and the stress and the pressure. And it's just, I think it's made her really value the lifestyle we have. And, you know, one really, really massive thing for us as well that we always go back to is we're not in that rat race anymore, because the stress and the effect that stress had on our relationship and on our bodies and on our mental health, just from the rat race in the morning, get up, get your shoes, get your lunch. Like I can preach for days on what a blessing that is to not be in that. It changed our lives, and so much stress just left us that we didn't even realize we had. And so, yeah, we quite often will just, you know, remember that and remember how grateful we are to live this life. So
definitely.
Yes. Oh man.
quick, eat your breakfast. Quick. Yeah, it was it wasn't a very nice time, was it?
It's horrible. Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah. We are all so blessed to already doing this. And not being forced into doing it or anything, like it was our, you know, our choices. And yeah, I feel, yeah, very blessed that it's, that this is the journey that our life has taken us on. And yeah, so.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I really, really seriously want to thank you so much from like truly at the bottom of my heart for being in this panel for this series one that I'm writing. And I, yeah, thank you so much for your wisdom and your knowledge and your stories, because, you know, it just really helps those who are really struggling or, you know, wanting to, you know, thinking about it or wanting to and just being so uncertain, and they don't have, you know, in real life people that they can talk to or, you know, learn from. So it's really nice to be able to do this with you lovely ladies. I really truly am so thankful, so blessed to know you and have you here. So thank you
for inviting us. It's been fun. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you. All right, well, do you both have public Instagrams? I just realized I didn't ask you this before. I know, Danny, you do, but Sarah, I don't know if you have.
I don't. Okay. No, I don't.
Yeah, that's,
and you know what, I've never set anything up as a homeschool, and maybe I should, and because it, you know, it looks different for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
I may well resonate with one person that goes, oh, you know what, I could do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And exactly. It would work for my family.
Well, where can people find you, Danny?
One Single Joy. So I'm on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel. I make a ton of homeschooling content. So it's just One Single Joy. And on Instagram, I think I'm One_Single_Joy.
Excellent. Well, I love that, you know, one of you have a public and one of you have a private at this stage account, because it really just, you know, really goes to show that, you know, we are all very different, and it's all okay regardless, you know, and you don't, you don't have to share everything, or you can share things, or, you know, it's just, I don't know. I really appreciate that. And Sarah, if you ever do anything public, let me know, and I'll make sure I link it in here, because your wisdom is so valuable. You know, all the children you have and all the years and all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, if you ever do, let me know.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Sure. And I really appreciate you, Danny, too, and all of that. So, all right. Well, I'll speak to you guys on the gram, and
thanks for your time.
Say goodbye now.
Thanks for your time and the opportunity. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I appreciate you guys.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was such a beautiful conversation with those beautiful ladies, Danny and Sarah. Their wisdom and knowledge and their willingness to share from the heart about their experience was really beautiful to be a part of that. So I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that it gave you some motivation maybe, or some insight into what it can be like for you, and, you know, when you're living that experience, to remember back to, you know, some of the points that we all experienced in our first year and throughout the times that we've been homeschooling, so that when you're living it, you can be reminded of the wisdom that was shared today. So if you, again, if you know anyone who is thinking of homeschooling, make sure you share it, because it'll help them, you know, be able to feel good or feel confident or feel like they're making the right decision, regardless of what that is. So I wish you all the best, and keep an eye out for series 2. Will be coming out shortly, and I will again have a panel of homeschooled mums to share their knowledge and their wisdom along with you on the topic of series 2. So until next time, see you later.